What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We are doing the listener spotlight. We're also highlighting a very interesting story in Carolyn Black. Carolyn is the athletic trainer at Barrow, Alaska, the northernmost athletic program in the United States. It is the very tip of Alaska, and she's going to tell us more about that. But if you Google it, you would see a bright blue football field. I think that's right, with a polar bear standing right by the fence, and the water kind of almost lapping up against the football field there. At least that's the way it looks from the images on Google. So it's quite an interesting story, and we're going to hear a good bit more from firsthand expert Carolyn Black. Carolyn, how many years have you been in the profession of athletic training?
Including college, I've been in 24 years, but doing it how I do it now is about the last 20 years.
All right. Where did you go to college?
I went to college at Western State College in Colorado. Now it's called University of Colorado Western. But I finished my program up there and did an internship style of athletic training as opposed to what they do now. So it's a little bit different program, putting in a lot more hours of actual volunteering and coverage and in all your different sports. So,
got you. Okay. When did you first learn about athletic training?
Well, I always was really super interested in sports. I did tons of sports. I grew up here in Alaska, and I always wanted to be involved, but I was never quite good enough to collegiately continue on to play anything. And I thought, what can I do that I could still be involved? And initially, actually, I went to college to be an architectural major, and that did not work out for me. Not a big math student, so decided to try out and talked with Barry Steele from the University of Idaho, where I initially started college, and then from there, he just had me hooked from literally the first probably 15 minutes into talking to him. So from then on out, that was exactly what I wanted to do.
All right. So tell me a little bit more about your college experience as an athletic trainer.
College was amazing. The college I went to, we were a Division II NCAA college. So we had quite a few sports, your basic ones. We didn't really have some of the obscure, which all the main ones. The nice part with our program is that we got to be involved in every sport. When I talked to friends that went to bigger colleges, I had one friend and she was kind of stuck with swimming her entire 4 years. And so when it came out, she really didn't have a ton of experience with some of those other more high contact, high velocity sports, where we had pretty much experience in almost every single sport that there was to offer there. So I felt like it really gave me a well-rounded education, made me be a little bit more aware of just injuries and what can happen, the potentials and what you need to do and be aware of. So I really felt that that was a great lead up for me to be then out on my own as a trainer.
All right. So you graduate from college, and where do we go from there?
From there, I took 1 year off. I was a nanny for my nephew. Just had a great year of just finishing up with college and just kind of wanted that little bit of a break. And then I moved back to Alaska in 96, and I have a position. Actually, I live in Wasilla. I don't live up in Barrow. Sorry. We went to Barrow for a playoff football game, but I actually volunteer. I'm in Wasilla, and so I volunteer at a local high school, Houston High School, actually. And I work with all their sports. Not quite as involved as I used to be, but that's kind of where I started. And I work at a physical therapy office. Initially, working at, it was a rehab center. And so I ran the rehab center and my boss was a chiropractic physician. And so between the two of us, we kind of did coverage for most of the valley with different school things. And then we've added more people on and more personnel. And now we have a physical therapist and a PTA and myself that still work in the physical therapy office. And that's where I've been for the last 20 years.
All right. Well, sorry for misquoting your place of employment, but you've been to the field there at Barrow and.
I've been to Barrow several times during football season. Early on, playing up there, they get all four games done the first four games of the season, which is all in August because it gets too cold. But the year that we went up to Barrow, they had a better score or a conference schedule than we did. So we ended up having to play them in the first round of playoffs. And then I've also been up there for basketball tournaments, which is absolutely crazy, where we didn't get to fly in because it was more than 70 below zero. And so we had to wait until it dropped down to below 60 below so then we could fly in.
Huh. Why can't you fly in at 70 below?
I'm not sure if it was like a wind factor or if it was just so cold the engines potentially could seize up on the planes. I don't ask those questions. If they say we can't fly in, I'm fine with it. So we just kind of stick at the airport until that allows us to fly in, and then we go down, or go actually up to Barrow. So,
all right. Very interesting. I'll have to find out more, or maybe you can find out and tell us eventually. All right. Well, tell me a little bit more about your athletic training career. I mean, you said you work for the
So I volunteer at a local high school here in Alaska, Houston High School. They're a region. They're like a two-way school. So they're kind of a smaller school. They probably have about 400 students. We have, again, all your basic sports. I help with cross country, and we have volleyball and football all in the fall. And then we go into wrestling and hockey. And then we don't have any skiing programs, but the bigger schools have skiing programs. I'm not involved with those, which is okay with me for not being outside, so in the middle of winter. So, and then when we jump to spring, we have soccer, baseball, softball, and track. So it definitely keeps you pretty busy the whole time. I mean, pretty much from one season into the next. And a lot of those, like with wrestling and hockey, they start overlapping. So for me, I used to pretty much live, eat, breathe Houston athletics. I was at every sport, every practice, getting kids ready. If I couldn't be there when they started practice, a lot of the kids would drive into the town where I work, and they would tape them up and get them ready, and then they head back out to practice. It's about a 15-mile drive for them, so it's a little bit of a drive, but not too bad. And then, you know, just being at every practice. Now that I'm married and have a child that's small, I'm not able to go out to every single practice, but I do try to make it out at least three times a week to football and basketball. Hockey, luckily, they play here in Wasilla, and so I'm able to just go to the local rink and help out with games and occasionally practices. But sometimes they practice ungodly hours of 6 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. So sometimes those, and generally hockey, they're doing pretty good. You kind of know their injuries, so it's not too bad.
All right. So talk to me just a little bit about injuries that you've seen.
You know, as far as I probably saw more kind of your horrific injuries type of thing, I would say, more on the college level. We saw a dislocated elbow in a wrestling. That one was definitely my freshman year in the athletic training program. And luckily we had a great senior athletic trainer because the other trainer was actually out on the football. Our head trainer was on the football field, so we had to call him in. But that was probably my most kind of wow reality that, holy cow, we got a lot to do. It's not just little twists and turns of ankles. I mean, this, you have a bone sticking out the back of your elbow. This kid is writhing in pain, and we have to try to stabilize him, call the ambulance, and get him set before they get there. And so, yeah, it was definitely an eye-turner for me to realize we have a lot of responsibility. It's not just the little stuff, even though that's what we see a lot more often. So, probably. And so then when I was a senior trainer, we had a kid slide into second base, and the base didn't give, and so he broke both his tibia and fibula. And so just like that experience, I just remember that kicking in, just that second nature of, you know, what to do, calm them down, you know, get everything started, get the ambulance rolling. So definitely just experience building up through my entire career has really led me, you know, to where I am. Of course, my up here in Alaska, we don't always have ambulances right at the scene. So sometimes you could potentially wait 15, 20 minutes for something to show up. So you definitely have to be prepared for kind of that extreme injury type of thing. So, you know, luckily we've been pretty fortunate that we could have, you know, ambulances at least nearby, that we haven't had too many problems. But there has been the occasional where you're kind of waiting it out, sweating a little bit, because there's nothing more you can do. They need to get there with potentially oxygen or fluids and IVs and stuff. And so I have thought about going back to school and getting kind of my paramedic so I could potentially do that. But that just adds more responsibility. And right now in my life, I'm kind of not quite there that I want to do that. So I'm kind of settling into where I am as an athletic trainer, and I really, really love it. So as far as injuries up here, I would have to say, you know, football is probably our biggest, just because of some of the coaching and experience. You kind of get a lot of coaches that are just parent coaches. So you really have to do a lot of education early in the season about, you know, concussions and just injuries in general, of just not picking a kid up by the pads and putting him on his feet and getting him to go again. So we've had to do a little bit of parent education at the beginning of the year, but it's definitely paying off year by year. We're just getting more and more people aware of different injuries and athletic trainers and the importance of those.
Gotcha. All right. So are there any injuries that you found are maybe unique to Alaska, to a place with, you know, minus 60, minus 70 degree temperatures?
Well, and I'm kind of referencing, we went up to Barrow, Alaska, to play our championship or quarterfinal game. And it was about 13 below zero, so it was pretty chilly. The kids came prepared knowing that they'd need to wear long sleeves and stuff. But there's a 25-mile-an-hour wind, and it literally, like you kind of described earlier, that football field is sitting about 100 yards, maybe 200 yards right off the Arctic Ocean. So the wind that is coming in is pretty intense. They put a row of buses right against the fence so that potentially, you know, they could block some of that wind a little bit. But the kids just were not prepared for just being, you know, I mean, just being warm enough and warmed up enough and ready to go. So the first half of the game was pretty rough for us. And then a lot of kids were saying they just couldn't hear because the wind was blowing in their helmets. And because I do a lot with hockey, I decided, well, heck, I'm just going to use my hockey tape, cover over those holes in the side of their helmets. And just everybody, the second half of the game was just such a change. We definitely came back. We were able to communicate more. And it just, the temperature kept dropping. I think by the time we finished the game, it was about 25 below and still had the same 25-mile-an-hour wind. So definitely you just kind of see a little bit different stuff, I mean, in that regards. For the most part, most of our other, I mean, because I don't do skiing and things, but I know that a lot of the trainers that have covered occasionally those regional ski events or state ski events, it's mainly cross country, and you're just kind of dealing with, I mean, definitely you can deal with some cold and things, but like I said, we don't do a ton with that as far as up here. They definitely have some motocross events that people do, but I am not sure the coverage that those get, like, from a specific athletic trainer. I think they more have, you know, ambulance on site, because if someone's wrecking, it's definitely a lot more than just a piece of tape or something. So it's pretty big.
All right. So, of course, I've got to ask, because, you know, like I said in the pictures, when you were up there with the football, for the football games, did you ever see any polar bears?
We did not see any polar bears. They had one of the pictures that they took that is on Google was from the day before our football game. And they had said that they have people up in stands that are around the fence, that it's around the football. They have big towers on the sides to watch for them. And they had to sound the bear alarm so that the bear would run away. And so it was pretty exciting the next morning. And then after the game, we went out and got pictures with some of the big, huge whale bones and ribs that they have standing up there, and some of the skulls and things from those bowhead whales. I mean, and literally when they say a whale is the size of a bus, it is exactly the size of a bus. They are a huge animal. So we saw the whale part, but yeah, we didn't get to see any polar bears. And even when I was there in the wintertime, they talked about seeing some like the week before, but we didn't see any when we were out on our bus tour at all. But it's an impressive place. I mean, there are literally no trees. And someone at one of the fish camps, which are way out north and on Point Barrow, which is literally right next to the ocean, where they go out to fish in the summers, they've set up some fake palm trees. And those are literally the only trees up in Barrow.
Just some plastic trees?
So, yeah, there's some rubber trees that they put out. And they're there all winter. They have a big hammock on them. Everybody always takes pictures with them. They're pretty cool. But, yeah, it's definitely a different – I mean, if you can just literally flat, snowy – It's cold up there. So even in the summer times, their temperatures are not really getting, I mean, they might get to 50, but that's about it. But then they have the sunshine literally 24 hours a day up north there. So the sun never literally sets. It just kind of rides along the horizon and then goes back up. So even though the sun's up all day, it's not really a warmth factor. Like I said, it only probably gets up into the maybe mid to low 50s.
Very interesting. It's just a completely different world. And again, hopefully one day I can experience it, you know, at least some part of it. So
we, when we had our playoff game, that was the first or second year. And so they were doing the big ESPN coverage on Barrow and their program. And so ESPN had come up to be at the football game. And there was two guys from, I want to say Jacksonville, Florida. And they had flown all the way up to Barrow to just watch this football game because they knew it would be kind of a historic thing to watch it up there. So they had flown. There was two guys that came up all the way from there. It was pretty, I mean, it was pretty neat. And they just were cheering the kids on. I think ESPN interviewed them for coming up. But, yeah, they kind of had their 10 seconds of fame. But it was interesting to have somebody, I mean, literally last second, they probably paid $2,000 for their tickets. I know my ticket just from Anchorage to Barrow was like $800. And so, yeah, it's, I mean, we're flying within our state for that amount. It's, but it's a probably a three and a half hour flight. So it's about the same distances from Anchorage's to Seattle as Anchorage's to Barrow.
See, that's crazy. For $800, I could probably get to Hawaii.
Yeah. Oh, heck, it doesn't even cost that much for us to fly to Hawaii.
Well,
so,
okay.
But within the state, it's definitely more expensive.
All right. So how much time do you think you spend on a plane?
Oh, gosh. This basketball season, we flew to Nome for a basketball tournament, and we flew out to Kotzebue, which are both on, like, the western shore. And Nome is where the Iditarod finishes. And so we've flown out to there. We've flown to Barrow and Bethel. I've been out to, when I was in high school, we flew to Adak, which is the furthest point in the Aleutian chain. They don't have an Air Force base there anymore. And so that one's not there. But that's another, that's probably like a four-hour flight, 3.5 hour again, out on the Aleutian chain there. So I've done quite a few airline miles for sure flying. Like I said, I've been to Barrow probably 5 or 6 times. I've probably been to Bethel about the same. So we've kind of flown all over the state.
And then I know Chris Dean, he likes to agitate me, I guess. I don't know. He posts pictures about how Alaska is like 5 times the size of Texas or something like that.
We have some friends in Texas, and yes, we do send t-shirts down to show how teeny tiny you guys are, really.
Which is very funny because
Chris is a great guy. He definitely, I was going to say, I'm sure he loves doing that to those in Texas. That's for sure.
Yeah. So. And, you know, we're such a big state compared to the rest of the United States, but then there you are 5 times the size of Texas, so.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, what's your most memorable moment as an athletic trainer?
One of my most memorable moments is doing that Barrow trip. It was amazing. And I will have to say, the people of Barrow and the school and their parent program, I mean, after we were done, they invited us to the big, huge ceremony where they had pulled a whale in on the beach. They had, you know, they're cutting it up, and I mean, they're sharing everything with us. Some stuff you want to eat, some stuff, I mean, the kids said they felt like they were on Fear Factor. But these people are eating literally every part of that whale gets used. It's pretty impressive. But the camaraderie of everybody and welcoming everybody. I mean, there was never any, during the game itself, yeah, it was, you know, team on team. But when it came afterwards and just the welcoming and hospitable and everything, it was amazing. It was a really interesting trip. And I think some of it, I mean, there was a little publicity factor there, but I still think that it was, I mean, I've been up there before and it's been the same. They're just an amazing community. Being so far away and everything, they use amazing stuff to just make you feel welcome and, you know, bus trips all around the town and everything. So, and I've taken ferries to Kodiak. We've flown to Kodiak. I've been to Valdez. I mean, just absolutely beautiful places. But definitely going up there was probably one of my most amazing just trips and just athletic training experiences. And just the, like you said, trying to overcome the cold. And then at halftime, we went into a bus, and so the kids were getting warm and kind of sweaty. And then we went outside, and people are kind of, I said, hey, let's get back outside. Let's get these kids back. We're getting way too warm in this bus. And so, yeah, it just was, you know, trying to think about what's going to happen up there. You know, I had to pack for a lot, that's for sure. I think my bag was a little overweight. I think I probably had a 75-pound athletic training bag going up with me, so.
Yeah, that's definitely unique. Definitely a story that is fun to hear more about. So, all right, Carolyn, tell me a life lesson you have learned.
Oh, gosh. Probably one of my biggest life lessons is treating people the way, you know, you would want to be treated in a situation. I mean, parents come down and just are panicking over an injury, and just really taking the time and being patient really helps, you know, their just level of comfort, making the, you know, the patient or the athlete comfortable. Patience is probably one of my biggest things, is just not trying to rush, trying to just relax, don't panic, don't get overexcited, just because everybody in the situation is going to get overexcited. So It definitely, patience is probably one of my biggest things I've learned through this, is don't rush, don't get panicked, don't, you know, just take your time, take your steps, you know, do what you need to do, because it definitely, it's going to pay off in the end for this athlete recovery-wise, if you can be positive. So between patience and positive, definitely those two are probably my two life lessons that I've learned with athletic training. So, and also, you never know what's going to happen. And especially being up here in Alaska, you just never know. I mean, it can go from this week was 77 on Tuesday, and then Wednesday was rainy and 42. And so, you know, people come to track meets with nothing. And so then you're having to, you know, help warm up these kids, and all they have is shorts and a t-shirt. And you're like, yeah, you need more than that at 45, 50 degree weather to keep yourself warm. So you definitely have a lot of with you up here. You need to be prepared for a lot of different things.
All right. And to athletic trainers in general, what's some advice you might like to give?
You know, definitely for your, you know, younger, kids, I know that it's real different, talking with people that have gone through the more education schooling program, where I'm not sure how many hours you guys have to have, like 450, is it, or something about that? I mean, I had like 2,800 hours of athletic training experience before I left college. So definitely for just some of the younger kids coming up, take what advantages you can, as far as, if you have an opportunity to work with, you know, an NFL program over the summer, or even a little league, you know, try to get a variety of experience at different sports, different levels. It'll definitely help you be that more well-rounded athlete, you know, athletic trainer, when it comes to just living, doing games and things. Because even though you're at a football game up here, I'm sure it's like that everywhere. You know, you have a parent go down, or a coach has a heart attack, or, you know, something like that. So you're not just used to dealing with one type of athlete. Definitely get your well-rounded sports, you know, definitely working with communication. All those things are really, really important with athletic training. You know, for my older constituents, I love that, you know, in Alaska, we have a pretty small group. And so we really all know each other. We bounce stuff off of each other. I mean, Mary Perez and I have lunch probably once a month, and we chat about, you know, what we're covering, what we can do, different options. We share information, paperwork. So we're definitely really, really close-knit group up here working together. Definitely makes a huge difference if when you get into a situation, you can definitely, you know, get with those groups that you can really help each other out. I mean, I know being from Colorado, when I went to college, my organization was much larger. So you're definitely not having just that closeness. So if you can, the group around you, definitely get that communication. It makes just a world of difference. And like I said, for the younger, definitely trying to experience as much as you can while you can before you're getting that specific job or that different position.
All right. So there being in Alaska, and a place where you have to fly anywhere, how do you get your continuing education?
For the most part, I do fly outside to go to different conferences. They are definitely getting better compared to when I started as an athletic trainer up here 20 years ago. Even probably about 5 years ago, they really started to bring up, you know, smaller courses, some day courses that are maybe 6-8 hours. But at least it helps with you not having to fly outside, which is, just like we said, so much more expensive. I'm very fortunate that the people I work for, that's part of my contract with them, is they pay for my continuing ed. So this last time around, it was a little bit more different getting the evidence-based practice credits. So I did use the MedBridge, giving them a little free information there. I use their website and their information, and they were amazing tools to use. And even the PT and the PTA in my conference, even though they didn't get any credit for it, they listened to the classes and things online with me, and it definitely was, I mean, with all of us, it helped. So, I mean, the resources are definitely out there for some information for us to get continuing ed. Online is just so much more now than when I initially started. So, but for myself, I do love live classes more than anything, especially your hands-on things. So if you can make, you know, for us up here, we definitely like to go out to some of those. I know some of the other trainers go make a big push to go to the national conference, and that can give you, I mean, for us up here, that can give you up to, I think it's 24 or 30 hours if you go to some of the early stuff. So for me, going outside is is my favorite just because it gets paid for by the boss, and I get to have kind of a free vacation. So it definitely makes it worthwhile. But they're doing more and more getting different classes up here. But definitely online is looking, if you're looking for more of a cost-effective way, you can go online and do quite a bit of stuff.
Very good. All right, Carolyn, who are some people that you would like to say thank you to?
Oh, gosh. I mean, when I looked at the questions kind of before, I was thinking about that. And Barry Steele, he's still the head athletic trainer at the University of Idaho. He was amazing. And luckily, when Alaska was going through its startup for licensing and we're part of the Northwest Athletic Trainers Association, he came up and I was able to tell him face to face, and he said, oh gosh, I can't be that good. And of course, I mean, we all laugh and stuff, but he truly was the reason I became an athletic trainer. He was he was serious when he needed to be serious. He was funny with the athletes. He had a great camaraderie and respect from them. And I saw that, and I was hoping that I could get that same from, you know, my athletes as well, just at a different level. But he definitely, I mean, he's an amazing athletic trainer. He's an amazing educator. So he was definitely someone I would thank. I would definitely thank the trainer that I had at Western State College. That's Don Mundell. And he was another one. I mean, there was only one athletic trainer at Western. And so as student trainers, you moving up, you had a lot of responsibility. And he really, you know, pushed us to be as best as we could be. And I still have contact with him today. You know, we're still friends. When they had an assistant trainer position, he asked if I would apply for it, which I was completely honored. But I, you know, with Alaska, it's a little bit more expensive up here. We do make a little bit more money. So when I told him that it would be about a $13,000 pay cut for me to take an assistant athletic training position, and he said, stay up there, don't come down. So, but a great guy. Great. I learned so much from him, and still today when I go back, bounce stuff off of him, talk to him, I still support my college through, you know, different scholarships and things like that I contribute to. So definitely support the college that I went to, and thank Don so much. So, I mean, of course I have to thank my family and everything, that they're wonderful. But Dr. Dan Larson, he was my first boss up here when I moved up to Wasilla, and he kind of went with my vision of wanting to help out at the schools, and the two of us kind of took off and helped out as much as we could with Valley Sports. And we now have three doctors that help out at three of the different high schools, and then myself at one high school. So we try to cover as much as we can and give back to our community as much as we can. And I was able to do that and be a part of, you know, the athletic training program up here, mostly because of Dr. Dan. I mean, he pays for, well, now his son has taken over the business. He's since retired, but they still pay for every trip, all my gas I get per diem. They pay for all my travel. So all my flights, my boat rides, they take care of everything. So I've had incredible support from Dr. Dan and Dr. Chris Larson both. So those would be my main shout outs to some incredible men and just a part of this program. And even to all those athletic trainers that have done so much for us as a state. I mean, Lynn and Brenda, Chris, they've all done just amazing stuff, you know, really leadership and leading us into getting our licensing. And so definitely a shout out to those three have been a huge part of that.
Very good. So Carolyn, if somebody wants to maybe continue a conversation with you or find out more about opportunities up there in Alaska, how are they going to get a hold of you to do that?
You can definitely email me at work. That's Carolyn. I have two emails, but the easiest one is Carolyn@LarsonChiropractic.com. And Larson is LARSON. And then my other one would be, if you want to reach me by phone, you can call me at work, 907-373-7246. And I work at Back in Action Physical Therapy.
All right, very good. Carolyn Black, athletic trainer up in, say the name of the city again.
The city I live in is Wasilla.
Wasilla.
It's famous. That's where Sarah Palin lives. That's why most people know Wasilla. But I volunteer at Houston High School out in Big Lake, Alaska.
Gotcha. So I remembered Houston High School because, you know, I'm in Houston.
Exactly. That's why, I mean, it always is funny when we fly in, someone will say, Houston, I've never heard of just Houston High School. I said, it's Houston, Alaska. They're like, oh, that's why. So, yeah, we get that a lot.
Very cool. All right. Well, if you want to find out more about Alaska, athletic training in Alaska, you can obviously contact Mary, we've talked to, but Carolyn just gave you her information. So, Carolyn, thanks for being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, the Listener Spotlight Series, where we just get a chance for you to share your story of how you became an athletic trainer and things you've learned. So, Carolyn, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it.
All right. Well, have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.